briefing course, Class 6 and so on, after the graduation ceremony, and those days when people were graduating Class 6, Jack was the first one. It was Linda Nussbaum who graduated. And you graduated with a lot of confidential data. And that's, you know, the line plot, the items, the GPM structure. And now this guy had been running GPMs and running a tremendous number of end words. And Ron came out. He didn't usually appear at the end of a graduation, but he came out. This guy's name was Wilbur Hubbard. And Wilbur Hubbard wanted to talk to Ron. And Ron was talking very gently to a group of us. And I had just finished auditing Dimitri Cronus on end words in Greek and English. You remember Dimitri? And I had just finished a 25-hour intensive running him on Greek end words and translating into English and trying to get him, and then getting him up to solo auditing. And I came out and Dimitri ran up to Ron so excited he found himself a very special end word, Greekness, creek, C-R-E-A-K. This, you see, that's only to do with being stuck in a creek, you see. So, anyway, and he was telling Ron this, and Wilbur Hubbard came up, and Wilbur Hubbard cut the communication. And Ron was furious. So Ron turned around and just gave Wilbur quite a look. And then Wilbur argued back. And of course, for Ron, that is the ultimate crime. So Ron went away on the Saturday and the Sunday, and on the Monday he called me with a little note to say, I had just started the HGC, the first HGC at St. Hill, to say that Wilbur Hubbard had to be run on a process. And the process was, tell me an existing condition, tell me how you have handled it, tell me how another has tried to handle it. It had three commands. Anyway, I was busy auditing a few other people. I passed this auditing on to one of the other auditors, David Ziff. David Ziff was the first person to ever run the power processes, or to ever take the commands and run them on somebody. And he ran them on Wilbur Hubbard, and Wilbur Hubbard said it was useless, and David Ziff said it was useless. And when it came to the Wednesday, that was a Monday, when it came to the Wednesday, I had finished the people I was auditing, and I said to David, right, there's another, the Red Sharp had to be run on something, and he had to have his mist withhold pulled. So I said to David, what would you rather do, handle Red Sharp or handle Wilbur Hubbard? So David had already given up on this process. And he said, oh, I'll take Red Sharp, you can handle that process, you see. So I took the process. And I'll never forget the first command I gave. I didn't put in any rudiments or anything. I looked at that process and I thought, by God, this process will handle rudiments, it'll handle everything. Tell me an existing condition. What are rudiments but existing conditions? So I said, I don't want rudiments, I don't want ARC breaks, I don't want a damn thing, I'm just going to use this process. And I went straight in and said to Wilbur Hubbard, right, tell me an existing condition. He just went into session, the room virtually blew up, and he got the cave straight out with embattledness. He'd been running a lot of end words, remember, but he came out with embattledness, you see. And tell me how you have handled it, yak, 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 yak. And then tell me how another tried to handle it, didn't bite. It just didn't bite, although I ran him the whole of that process with three commands. That third command didn't bite at all. So the long and the short of the story is that somewhere around about 12 hours after I'd started, Wilbur Hubbard went into a screaming fury, and he was way down the track, at dinner present time, screaming at me, why don't I do an L1 on him? Can't I see he's got an ARC break? And I was just sitting there, absolutely quietly, you see. And he was going down the track into the incident, into present time, screaming at me, why the hell don't you do an L1 on me? You know, handle my ARC break. Can't you see I've got an ARC break? Then he'd recede back into the incident like this, and then he'd come forward, and he'd do this, and finally it was all over. And he said, oh, you're a most fantastic auditor. What a way of handling an ARC break. Just sitting absolutely quiet. Meanwhile, that was a revivification. Now, revivify means to bring, you know, bring to life again. So people tend to get stuck in one heavy incident along the track. So they will drive it out more than anything else, and that's their stuck point. It's got many other little things attached to it. The power processes are that process particular. I mean, we only had that process at that time. What subsequently was called power process number 6 at that stage, it was just called the conditions process. And I became famous as the auditor of the conditions process. You know, Ron was cabling all his friends to come and get the conditions process run by John McMaster at that time. Because that was the only one we had. But it was fantastically powerful. You see, and as you hurled the commands at the guy, you could just see the map. Every time a coconut, you know. And you could see, like, you hit one little crystal in there, Condy's crystals or copper sulfate or something, and suddenly, like if you drop it into a beaker of water, they're the way it sort of expands across. You could see the mass coming off the person's body. But then we had no gradient, you see. And Ron said, boy, I'd hate to run there. After I'd run three people. You know, and I had explained to him what it was like, that my eyes actually stung from the mass coming off the guy with the power of the process, with no lead into it, you see. Just taking a guy raw and running this powerful process. Anyway, if they're designed to do this, you see, the first command is in present time. Tell me an existing condition, because obviously he's dragged that with him and it is still an existing condition, even though he doesn't recognize it as something out of the past. In fact, it's the way I see you today, I'm seeing you today, so I think. But in actual fact, I'm seeing you through that incident. And there, you know, people wandering around in the incident are seeing other people constantly through that incident. And that's why people do some of the crazy things they do. So, the first command is in present time. The second command is tell me how you have handled it, past tense. And the guy starts cycling. Like this, you see, until eventually, and you see the anaten. That's okay, that's what you expect on the process, because he's approaching nearer and nearer to that moment of unconsciousness when he was hit by this incident, you see. Until finally, in the revivification, which can be a split second, or it can be days, the guy hits it, and he's there, and the incident runs out. And then he comes back in present time, and the incident has been run out. And he's now revivifying that incident, and he's free from it. I'll give you an example of that. Third person I ordered on that, he had had an engram. He was an old-timer in Dianetics and Scientology, and he'd had an engram, you might know him, where he was killed by an elephant, with an elephant's tusk going right through his body. Now he'd run that engram over and over and over again. But when I was running him on this process, by this time we had dropped the third command because it didn't bite, so we just ran the two commands, tell me an existing condition, tell me how you have handled it. And I was running it on him, bop, 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 you see, these things must be run muzzled. And the reason, and you don't ask the PC how you're doing, you don't say anything, you just run those commands, well, as fast as you can put them in, it's commands per unit of time, counts here. And you go into time with a pre-clear first, and then you bring him into your time by speeding up the whole velocity of what you are doing. And you just go, tell me an existing condition, thank you. Tell me how you've handled it, thank you. Tell me an existing condition, thank you. Tell me how you've handled it, thank you. Tell me an existing condition, thank you. Till you key out the bag, you see. What you are doing is cleaving the being away from the reactivity until he can get that amount of distance that he can actually confront this thing which you can never confront before. And the faster you can do it, the more you're going to help the guy. And he might think he's going to hell at various stages, but you just keep on going and you don't buy it, you don't stop. Because that process is doing this one thing of elasticizing the being down the time track until he actually hits that thing, you see, and is stretching, 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 stretching like that. And you give up and you've rabbited on your pretense. No matter what he's going through, once you start it, you carry it through. You see, because this is what you've done now. It's okay if you've run for 2 hours and the process is the pre-care looks bright and you're going to end the session and carry on tomorrow, that's all right. It's nice if you can do it all in one session, but sometimes you can't, and that's quite all right. And when you end the session, you end the session, and even say no comments, let it be, let the guy go home, and sometimes the process continues to run out of session, even though you've ended the session. And he can have the revivification in his sleep, or he can have it as he's walking home, or you can have it when you wake up in the morning, or you can have it any time out of session. So before you start the next session, always make sure that you check everything that happened from the end of the last session. Because you don't want to overrun this process. It's an awful process to overrun. It really was the one and only time that I have ever been overrun was on this process, and I can tell you this much. It was like going into concrete and then having it set solid around me. And I carried that around with me for a day. It was terrible. You know, that feeling.
What is the signal for revivification? How do you tell when you've got there?
Well, you just watch that pre-clear all the time, and you watch when he's just suddenly not there at all. The eyes are glassy. They stare. There's nothing there. You know, the guy is... Sometimes you can watch him behind. You watch the guy, and he does it up here somewhere. You know, he's found it there, the incident. And he thinks it's just like as if the body has died. But it isn't always like that. Sometimes the guy goes into a screaming dramatization. But what I was telling you about earlier, the third guy was killed by an elephant. Well, he'd run that incident so many times, and he was quite famous as an old-timer for his elephant incident. But when it came to me to run him on this process, and I ran him, I just ran that thing like a machine gun at him, and suddenly he just let out a violent scream, and it was all over. It was the one thing he'd never done. Every time he'd run the engram, the scream as the tusk went through his body. And that was the last of the engram, so he was now freed from that engram which he had been stuck in for a long time. But it can manifest in another person I was auditing. Just suddenly, he was a very, sort of high-toned guy. Suddenly, there was a dead body sitting in front of me, and back here was a little, like a, how could I describe it? Like a, as a you light a fuse, and it begins to fizzle on. Well, he was up here, doing that behind him, and there was nothing here at all. And it was only about a second and a half. And then suddenly he was back in his eyes, brilliant, and he said, "Where have I been? Where have I been? Oh, my ear!" He had the violent dramatic in his ear, and the incident was just when he was running it up there. And then suddenly, there he was. Now he appeared in present time, fully in present time, for the first time in his life. And yet he had been a very high-toned guy prior to that. But suddenly he was clean and free from all of that. Now that was one way of seeing it. Another time, people just, depending on how you are running it, people do. The more effortlessly you can run these processes, the safer the space you create, the faster the incidence, and the less traumatization that I am subject to. The smoother, the slicker, and so on. But these are things you will learn with experience in running them. Anyway, because of the very steep gradient of that process, the conditions process, then Ron decided we had to have a thing into it.
Interrupt just for a moment.
Yeah.
I believe, don't you, to avoid time and problems, you have to look up like the word condition or the word existence prior to the session, if possible?
Oh, yes, to get them to really get the meaning of those words, condition, existing, and as we come to the other, then the other process, power process number 5, was the next one we ran, just to get the guy cycling on the track. What is, what isn't, what is, what isn't. It's just those two commands, but the idea there was to get the guy cycling on the track and to run out as much junk as you could so that you when you came to the power, to the condition, the process which produces the revivification, he had now, you've taken off a lot of the junk on an easier gradient by what is, what isn't. Then out came the next process, and another process to help a guy. Now it was obvious that if a guy is stuck in an incident, he's off source. He's sourcing everything out of an incident way back in the past, you see. So how do you get a guy back on source? Because then he's going to be able to spot what isn't, much faster. He's also going to be able to run his incident that he's stuck in much faster. So then came the source process. The source process was the third power process to be evolved, but you run it first. And the fast flow, or the fast normal run of power, is number 4. PRPR4, which is source, tell me a source, tell me about it, tell me a no source, not non-source, no source, tell me a no source, tell me about it, and you run those two, that until, and I'll tell you, the first time that process was run, I ran it, and it did exactly as Ron predicted, exactly. He said that the pre-clear will very likely say, the room is much brighter. Things seem a lot more solid. And he explained it to me like this. I was halfway through that session, and because I had about 55 other hats too, I put a little break in and I charged through to the comm center to get to the communication center to get the whatever papers were in my basket and so on. And whilst I was there, Ron came to me and he said, "How's that process going?" And I said, "It's going very well." So he said, "Come here, John." Came over. And there was a bookshelf out from, a bookcase there with glass front here. And he said, "You see this glass here? Libraries have, bookshelves up the walls with glass fronts, glass doors in front. And you've got about, say, a foot, 2 feet here." He said, "Now a person who is off, very much off source, they won't see the wall where the wall is, they will see it where the glass is. And so they've come to people to kick their feet, to kick buckets over, the worse out of, off source they are, you see." So he said, they will always be like that. That's how life will be for them. There is a visual depth error in the way they see things. That it got it, our charge back to the pre-clear, and she was an American woman, and I called her in, and she said, when I walked out after the session, a funny thing happened. The whole world was much brighter, everything looked more solid, and it was as if I'd had an actual visual depth change in my eyes. Could you have had it more perfect for them? And so that, the first time the process was run, it did exactly that. That is exactly what happened. And since then, but, you know, like that was just perfect, it might have been freak, it might have been whatever, but nevertheless, you will see as you are running it, suddenly, the guy might not say it, but you will see something happen. He's suddenly looking around and he's looking different, and if you are really there, that is the one time when it is permissible to say, what happened? Only when you see that suddenly he's brighter, you know, things are all around. He's had that visual depth of change. It's any time it's permissible to alter the giving of the commands and say what happened. But you don't want to overrun that process either. You can run it and you can produce the phenomenon a second time, but it might be 3 weeks later. And you might have to go through God knows how many times with a turn on going off the meter. Or as he redoes the charge or finding himself. You see, it's the gradient here. He can find himself as a much greater source than he found himself the first time. But you've got all that other junk to go through, he's got to confront it on the wrong process. That's why, you see, beware the overrunning of these things. Anyway, so you run the four, tell me a source, tell me about it, and little the guy has this phenomenon. Then you run what is, what isn't. If that is, power process number five, it's the existence process, and that gets them cycling beautifully, so backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and so on. And you run that until the guy, first of all, he might give you commands compulsively in present time, like the room, what is the room, what isn't, something, whatever, you know, but just like he sees you in present time, you think, oh, this is fine, I don't need to run the process. No, it's not like that. Run it until he starts cycling. But now, the way the guy cycles, as you've seen, he isn't necessarily going to say 150 years ago or 20 years ago or something. He might just say, a toy. Now you know where he's looking. He might be a man that you're running, you see, and you'll say, what is, and he'll say, a toy.
A crib.
A crib. Because Esther's been sitting in my side, yeah, and all the things her son, you see. And I've been running him on this process. And you can see his cycling by the what he says is. If you know it's 50 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or whatever, the item he's giving you, that is. So that was, you can pick up the cycling through many, many and varying ways. It's not like, he doesn't have to say 50 years ago, he's like that, just as he answers the question, you'll see that he's cycling, and then you can, then as he cycles, and he comes back and he gives you six answers, just around the room, freshly, apparently, at present time. Then you can end that process. And it's nice if you've got a floating needle at the same time, too. But know, number one, that if he starts off in present time, know that he has cycled, and know that he has come back and been in present time for six answers. And then you can come off that process, and you take him on to the existence, the conditions process, which is, tell me an existing condition, tell me how you have handled it, and you run that to a revivification. Now, it is possible that some people have got it, have blown it in previous auditing, and there might not be a stuck engram, at which point, as you watch the guy, you assess, and when you've got that floating needle, you've got a floating needle, and then that is the end phenomenon for that process. Now, if you are running the second one, what is, what isn't, and the guy comes up with dichotomies, or end words, like he starts saying everything is the opposite of everything else. You say, what is? He says, black. What isn't? White. What is good? What isn't bad? Or anything of that nature, a dichotomy. Or an end word, words with, you know, embattled nets or something like that. You stop that process, you park it, and you then run power process number two, because this guy, through a former practice, treatment, or belief, is so collapsed in the bank. He's so collapsed in the bank that he is going to get all tremendously ensnared in the bank with the other process until you help him out of it by finding the practice, the treatment, or the belief that he's been involved in. So you list, it's a listing question, tell me some practices, treatments, or beliefs you have been involved in whether you have left them or not. And I see on Bernie Green's bulletin he's got, tell me some practices, opinions, or beliefs you have been involved in, you have been connected to, he's got there. But I still write, I think that he's incorrect on that thing that he's given. Tell me some practices, treatments, and beliefs you have been involved in, whether you have left them or not. And you list on that, and you get any charged item from there that the preacher is interested in, and run it. And you run it, tell me a condition encountered in so-and-so, how have you handled it? And you run, And the reason why you're running that is simply to free the guy from his past practice. Now, you can find that the engram that you are looking for, that is going to be revivified, is picked up by this process. In other words, he can have the revivification on power process number two, because his incident is on that stuck practice. And he will have the revivification whilst you are running power process number two, in which case, that's the end of the power processing. You don't have to come back and run five, you don't have to run six, you don't have to do another damn thing on the power processing. That power process number two will do that, where a case is very stuck in the past practice, treatment, or belief. And that's very important to know. Because obviously, once you've revived the guy, you're not going to produce another one by running another process. In fact, that's what you were looking for and you've done it. Then there are the other power processes, the power process number three, which is, at that time, we didn't have rehabilitations, you see. And we had to have a corrective process. You know, to pick up something, so we used to run, tell me a condition encountered in auditing. Tell me how it was handled. Now that's to free a guy who has made mistakes as an auditor, and the guy who has made mistakes or has been a pre-clear and had an unhappy handling or something. Bernie Green does laugh like a dame yesterday. He says, this is a process you only run when the person has been destroyed by the organization or auditing.
Here, I think you run almost everybody.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you just run it to get the guy's own mistakes. Say he might be backing off auditing because he's made mistakes and as an auditor, and he can't make gains anymore as a pre-clear because he's made too many mistakes as an auditor, and he's stuck in his mistakes as an auditor, you see. So you audit him, and the guy just goes, yak, 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 nobody ever listens to me, and everybody's fucked me up, and this type of thing, you see. And the reason why he's saying that is because he's had some heavy goofs as an auditor. So you run the process, tell me a condition, kind of auditing, and suddenly he'll say, well, that time I overran so-and-so, or the time that I said that I evaluated, or the time I did this, and I broke the auditor's code, and yak, yak. And you'll find that all of those things are sitting in the way of the guy making gains. And that would be a marvelous process to run on our friends. The one who's never made any gains in auditing.
Oh, right.
You see, just to find out if there is anything there. You know?
Yeah, I was going, which friend?
Yeah.
I think we all have our separate friends that we're calling. What are you talking about?
I'm just thinking of, yeah.
And so you've got, that's, I'm just giving you as quickly as I can, because Jack's got a lecture shortly. And then, now, if there are any other questions that we can go through this all again, so please feel free to come and talk to me about it any time you want to, that I'm available. Or if you want us to get all together again, we'll get together again, you know, because these are vital processes. They are designed for a particular purpose, each one. And if one's going to use them, one better honor that. Because otherwise they can be damn dangerous. They really can be. You know, sort of left half cocked, you have to re-stimulate it, and then the guy gets a floating needle and he's in the middle of his engram and he goes running on from there or whatever. And that engram, you've brought it into re-stimulation, you see, simply by starting that process. Anyway, and the idea is to keep it muzzled, to run as many commands, but don't force the pre-clear into your time. You must go into time with the pre-clear first. And then when you are in time with him, then bring him into your time and speed up the velocity of giving those commands. Because if you're out of time with each other, you're auditing something else other than the pre-clear in front of you. So you go into time with the guy, and then bring him gradually into time with you and speed up those commands. You've seen the speed with which I am auditing that process now, you know, the rapidity of it. Because the more you do that, you're just cleaving away the junk, you see, just by your being the auditor. Then you have the powers, and you come onto the power plus. And the power plus is designed to just clean up those little odd bits that sit between the pre-clear and the basic bank. Tiny little bits and pieces of stuff, you know, that might get in the way. And it's, the first one is, what person have you known? 1A. And you list on that.
We can run up Xerox with the commands if you want. We have them here.
What person have you known? And then you list, and then you put it into these commands. They're beautiful. It's a combination of problems and overts. OW and problems. What have you done to the item, person? What problem were you trying to solve? What haven't you said to person? What problem were you trying to solve?
You put problem what?
Yeah, yes, after each one, because I've got to see, well, what problem were they trying to solve by not saying that, and what problem were they trying to solve by doing that, you see, in the action. And then the next one is, which is power process 1B, power plus 1B, 5A, and all these other titles they've got, but it's a beautiful one. It's, what place have you known? And guys here will come up with a house, they'll come up with their body as a known place, another body, they'll come up with Earth, they'll come up with a solar system, they'll come up with a universe, or whatever they come up with, that's the item. And it's very interesting, you know, what people have as a place. But it's obviously anything is a place, it's a place. And then you say, what have you done in so-and-so? What problem were you trying to solve? What haven't you said in so-and-so? What problem were you trying to solve?
You just talk for that.
You list off a place until you've got, you know, and you null the list. And then the final process there is power process 1D.
And C?
And C disappeared. It's, what subject would you like to know more about? And that's a lovely one too. That is very interesting, because people put that guy telling each other about Wilbur Hubbard, telling everybody about the fantastic process he was being run on, you see. And giving the students the commands, and the students were writing out the commands to Australia, America, and everywhere else. And you know that he never once remembered the commands correctly. The verses of commands of that person all over the world. And every day he came in there and said, damn it, today I'm going to remember the commands properly. And you totally fill them all off. Anyway, it's, what subject would you like to know more about? You get your item, and when you've got the item, you simply say, what have you done in such and such a subject? What problem were you trying to solve? What haven't you said in such and such a subject?
You list that too, and then all of that.
No. Just the first
one. Just a listing question, what subject would you like to know more about? You list it now.
Yes.
And then you just, and then you put it into the four commands.
Mm-hmm.
What are the anomalies you're looking for on these particular
processes? On these particular processes, you just run to a floating needle, good indicators, and everything else that you would normally run to, take at the end of a process. And also, it isn't absolutely necessary. You can just say the precursors, well, that's all on that, and it looks fine, you say fine. And you watch, when you get your floating needle, that's okay. Run to pre-clear's reality at the end of items, you know, and your own observation that the indicators are good. You can call the item again, but you can watch as you give the question. You can say, now, say you're running it on person. What have you done to Julius Caesar? And you just don't get a read, you've got a fatty needle. Well, that's it. You know, the question doesn't read. But there's another point here, you see, wrong item, everything reads. So you can have those questions reading as you give them every time, because you've got a wrong item there. That's a datum that Ron gave us, what, 1963. We've got a wrong item. The needle reads probably in protest every time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
On running these four steps, you run them repetitively, 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, and another question I have is, do you have a copy of the removable thing knowing the 1963 bulletin?
I don't have one with me here, but I'll send you one from South Africa. I have the data, yeah.
Great. Yeah. Sometime, you know, we don't have to do it this morning, but sometime I'd like to get there.
Yes, it's rather lovely, you know. in the early days, well, what the hell does a bloody pre-clear know anyway? The fool is sitting there because it's a pre-clear. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't let him know anything or all the rest of it. In 1964, when I was case supervisor of the briefing course, I went to town. One had come out in July 1963 with You Can Be Right. You remember that bulletin, You Can Be Right? So constantly had these older people who, I was a Johnny Come Lately, but probably just as well because they didn't have all that old crap to work through. But Jenny and Reg and Fred Hare and these guys, they kept on forcing, the pre-clear knows nothing, they used to say, you see. So I used to say, God damn you, he's the only one who knows what he's trying to handle, you don't know. So you better let him tell you, because he's the only one who's going to discover what it is. He's got it, you haven't. You see, so he must be allowed to be right. And I said, what the hell is wrong with that bulletin out? A pre-clear is a human being too, strangely enough. So finally we got it changed, and on that new rules of listing and nulling, if the pre-clear says it's the wrong item, it's the wrong item. You know, oh God, how many years of battling to get that through, that the pre-clear is the only one who knows what he's got, and all you've got to do is to make it safe enough for him to discover it.
The chicken is the item, though. It doesn't read. So-and-so's your item.
Yeah, cockerels.
Yeah. Cockroaches. The next one, reading out a protest.
The pre-clear says, my item is to express myself, and the auditor says, no, it isn't, it's to express himself.
That's what happened to me at St. Hill.
As a matter of fact, I know the list last night, and the list item that showed up was originally stated as my father. When it nulled out, the pre-clear said, Daddy.
Daddy.
I took Daddy.
Marvelous. Yeah. Oh, I could tell you, sir, I would love to talk to you at length about the running of these processes, just because they were so exciting. And really, I take my hat off to Ron for this, you know. It was tremendous insight, you know, the product of years and years of experience of the, you know, reactive mind of people. Oh, some of the experiences I had running these and being run on them was just out of this world. As you just see, that the knowledge that that man really did have, or does have, whatever he's doing with it now, you know, he has got this fantastic insight into the mind of man. Anyway, is that okay for now? I don't want to delay anything else. I'm sorry we were a little late.
We might try and get together maybe either early before Tuesday or evening class or after class for a little while.
Yes, but what I used to do with the interns when I was training them, that's level 7, is every Thursday I used to have an exam. So you had to go through their folders and spot goofs they had made. And I would take 10 questions out of the goofs and give them an exam. And on the Thursday, and when they finished that exam, I had to take and mark the papers on Thursday night. And then I used to have a seminar on Friday at the end of the day for an hour and a half to 2 hours during...